Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 245. This is part two, the conclusion to Sluggards. Today is Sunday, May 6th, 2012.
I believe the very ugliest sight in all of the world is the sight of a thoroughbred loafer. You know what I'm talking about, thoroughbred? Now maybe you're laying in bed and it's 1:30. You're just hearing this message, probably a quarter to two, five to two now. Get up! Get up! Your mom or wife will die before long at the pace that they're setting, filling up that growling cavity you call a stomach. That bottomless pit. That garbage disposal that never satisfied, that thing you carry to the table called stomach. Now, I know I can't insult you because you're a pro. But wouldn't it be nice for your mom or wife if you would at least move from the bed over to the couch before they come home? Just a little movement, just a little encouragement that there's life still there. I see you raising up on one elbow right now. It's kind of shaky, but you're on one elbow. Do you suppose you could at least put your house coat on? Yes, your house coat. You know that thing you wrap around yourself? Now, I believe there is nothing quite as sickening as a full-grown man walking around in gray Fruit of the Looms. Put your house coat on. Now, I know I'll get letters on this ministry, and I really don't care. It has to be preached. There is a lot of sluggards. Man, you couldn't get them moving. I tell you, you cannot get them moving. They will not move. Sometimes I have people, they'll come down and it'll be like 5 minutes to 1 o'clock. I say, I'm sorry, I'm cleaning up. These are volunteers. They're going to go home unless you want to stay here and help me. And they're out the door before I can even finish what I'm going to say. You know what I mean? Got their hair up in curlers all day long, men and women. Not just talking about men and women. Then about 5 o'clock at night, they take all these pop cans out of their hair and shake it out. Now these are the men. These are not the boys. tweet, huh? Come on now. Someone's got to preach it. That's why you read on the bottom of every plate and every card, made in Japan. First Timothy 5 and 13 talks about an idle woman going from house to house. Not merely being idle, but add to being idle, add to it by being gossips, busybodies. Talking, it says, about things that are not proper to mention. Walking coffee urns. Frito-Lay snappers with big yappers. I hope I'm getting to you out there. It's the only way I know how to bring it home. We'll save another day for the gals. We're working on the male gender here today. I think everybody ought to have patience and pity for poverty, but for laziness, a long whip. Oh, is that the kind of person you are? Yeah, I guess I am. It wouldn't get him up anyway. You get calluses from laying in bed for years and years, don't you know? No, I was thinking of some way to get a sluggard going. I thought, well, now they should invent treadmills, get them going about 15 miles an hour during a blizzard, and have the sluggard get on there. Come on! Come on now! Come on! Huh? You ready to go to work yet? What's that? Speak up. Lunch? No, no, we're talking about getting you fit. We're talking about lunch. Nobody called lunch. There's so many sluggards, I don't believe it. I went in this cafe. This young man, he had on a bow tie, and he had on a white shirt, and he had on these slacks. I can't stand these slacks where they wear. They hang way over the shoes. They're supposed to touch the tops of your shoe. I mean, they were hanging down over these tennis shoes, and they have these great big flaps on the front. These tennis shoes they wear now with the big flaps. What do they call it? Tongues? And then the tongue was hanging out, and he was waiting on these tables. Come to my table and says, I haven't had a break yet. I said, remember to this Friday. I didn't have a break yet. I said, so? Go get me a cup of coffee. I don't want to hear you didn't have a break yet. I don't even know you. And he commenced to go in and tell the dishwasher how mean I was to him. The dishwasher looks out. Yeah, he looks out of the window. He goes, he had to put up with this slug too. Man, he was glad. Now, I'm going to give this young man a lesson. When I go up there, I'm going to say, young man, I'm going to show you how to wait tables, okay? Because you are not going to make tips walking over and telling someone you didn't have a break yet. Okay? What they call them in the Bible is sluggards. Now, I want you to take and roll those pants up. See, you're going to trip over them. And I want you to take and stick those tongues, tape them, glue them shut, do whatever, but they're flapping like they're talking to people. You know what I mean? Got the picture? Now straighten up. Roll up your sleeves here. See, now you're a waiter. Take and roll your sleeve, but can't even get the button unbuttoned here. Roll your sleeves up like you mean business. Carry a towel with you, and when you go to wipe the table, wipe it with even, strong strokes. Don't just sort of take your hand, let it fall down limply on the table, and sort of move yourself around. Huh? But that's a classic example of what we've come to, isn't it? What's it got us? Made in Japan. Made in Germany. Made here. Made there. Why? Because we just got to be sluggards, that's why. Are you hearing this? Of course, there are a lot of people that are born with a silver spoon in their mouths, and sometimes they won't even take that spoon out to feed themselves. They're as lazy as the meat market dog who leans his head against the wall to bark. Do you ever have any dogs like that at the pet? Yeah, there's dogs are. You can tell a lot from a dog. Oh, people, same. Do you ever have a dog like that? Just sort of, you treat him nice and everything, and then there's the other ones that are fierce. What's next? Fetch the stick? What? What, master? What? Huh? And then the other ones is sort of nothing? Huh? Or you could take some people's heads and put them right on them dogs. Oh, there's people out there get mad at these messages. You'd be surprised. They take it personal. And they should. Or they're like a lazy sheep. It's too much work to carry their own wool. And if only they could see themselves. But then, of course, they wouldn't do that. They mean walking over to the mirror. I can think of no good thing that can come from idleness. Nothing. What good can come of just being idle? Well, you say, the woman told me, well, my boy has been no trouble to me at all. She meant no embarrassment to her. Better to do nothing, she went on, than to do mischief. I said, well, I'm not fully persuaded of that. I said, a man that does mischief is not necessarily all bad, but laziness is bad, bad. I mean, a man doing mischief is, laying eggs and leaving, but the lazy man is the one that sits on the eggs of thought, which then hatch, will do much more harm to the world. I think the very worst weeds in the world, they don't grow in the minds of the wicked doers. But in the foul, dirty, filthy corners of idle men's minds, imaginations, the Bible calls them, that's where the devil hangs out, telling the lazy loafers how self-righteous they are. I would rather see a little mischief in a child than one who smiles and sleeps on. I think of your little one. He's mischievous, but he's full of fun, and he's always active. I looked in the bus, the bread bus, the other day, and here is little Joe. He's up in there driving the bus. Driving the bus, and he's up there. Well, it was real to him. He couldn't even, he just barely see his little eyes above the stream. And little brother, his older brother didn't see us watching, and he gave little brother a slap in the face. We were looking right at him, see? And then big brother says, look, he's not crying. We were just playing. Ha, 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 ha. He wanted to get out of there so he could drive that bus. So they're both full of a little mischief. I'd rather have that than a lazy kid that was always sleeping. Huh? Oh, time to eat. Only time you see any action out of him is when it's eat. Now, give me a little bit of mischief mixed up. I'd rather have that than a kid that just sleeps on and on and on. I mean, if the evil of just doing nothing seems less in your house, then look out for a greater tomorrow. I mean, the devil then will cause the hot coals of doing nothing to really blaze up. Inferno. Later on, idle people, you'll have to blow your own horns, for no one else can find any good in you to blow about. Won't raise up a sluggard kid. I just praise God, this kid is so good. He never gets in any kind of trouble. He is such a wonderful child. No mischief making, nothing. He isn't real. He's not assertive. There's no, I'm not saying you want him to be Dillinger or something like that. Boy, this is an active kid. I mean, he's robbing banks I never heard of. I'm not talking about that. Talking about mischief, that even when you look around and you see, I remember Stevie. I used to send him down, and the girls would be doing some paper dolls or something downstairs. I say, Stevie, why don't you go walk right through their paper dolls? Who was the kid? And I'd wait upstairs. Dad! Dad! He was surrounded by girls. I wasn't born again then, but I thought, I don't want this kid to be picking up on all this. I mean, walk right through that. Walk on, son. Walk on. But it gives them a little humor and it gives them a little spunk. Also got them a couple of black eyes, but that's beside the point. Are you hearing this? Because the man who wastes his time and his strength in resting a bit. Oh, I think I'll just rest a bit. I think I'll just rest. I think I'll just... Ooh, wow, ooh, wow. Oh, I mean, they can really get it. You ever see a person that can get into a chair? I mean, they can get into it. That's why on this, what's this show that they had where somebody was always sitting in this guy's chair? Archie? Yeah. Hey, that's my chair. Why? It was part of his body. It's part of his. I mean, when he sat in that chair, it just fit his old fat body. Wasn't that a classic show? Didn't they do a good job on that? It was so true. No, that man is a target for the devil. He is a target, I said, for the devil, sitting in that chair that belongs to his body. You know, the devil's got a real good eye when it comes to throwing fiery darts at lazy tarts. Oh, he's got a good eye. He knows exactly where to hit you. It says, as vinegar is to the teeth, as smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Because idle men tempt the devil to tempt them. And I believe a man or woman who plays when they should work has an evil spirit to be his playmate or her playmate. And so that man that doesn't play, or does play, won't work. That's Satan's house right then and there. Well, you say there's nothing to it. Well, you just watch the devil put you to work when you're not doing anything. And you know what? He pays wages, too. He'll put you to work in a disco or a bar. He'll put you to work laying on your back. He'll make you a lazy prostitute, if you will. Or a queer. Oh, don't say that word. Well, that's the word. That is queer, what you see. That is very queer. You'll put ideas in your head when you're not doing anything about your nephew or your niece or your uncle or your aunt or your son or your daughter. Or animals. Oh, sluggard. Drunks. Oh, I know a little bit about being a drunk. Drunks are lazy people who sit in the bar and stare in the mirror at their bloated faces. I remember my face looked like a pumpkin time in just before Halloween. Grotesque. While telling a joke, looking for approval from the rest of the beer burping puppets. Isn't that about like it is, though, when the devil gets a hold of you and you sit in the bar and you're just like a puppet sitting in there, and then you look in the mirror at yourself and your face is all bloated. Oh, hi, Joe. Hi, Peggy. Hi there, Joe. Sally. Well, how you been doing? Well, things are going good. How's it going down to work? Well, things are going all right. Set him up, Joe. Put it in the nickel in the machine. Getting kind of quiet in here. Getting kind of quiet on the radio. What's that song? Turn your radio on? Well, I'll turn it back on at least. God's word says, the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Bad habits grow out of lazy hours. Loose living comes from lazy hours also. Sure, I like a little bit of time off. A little leisure when I can get it. But I think that's different. Some don't know what leisure means. They're always in a hurry and a mess. And they end up putting off work. They always have a lot to do. And will never get caught up. They'll just never get caught up. You know why they never get caught up? Because they've never done yesterday's job. So yesterday's job added to today's job, plus I got to buy the right tool to do the right job, and all these excuses. We've all done some of that, haven't we? Oh, I don't have a hammer. Will you pound this nail in here? I would, but I don't have a hammer. And the wife gets so mad, she says, here, let me use your head. Wham! So yesterday's job added to today's job, plus I got to buy the right tool, and I don't have a hammer, and I don't have a screwdriver, and where? What happened to my saw? People are always stealing my tools. Oh, I would have to rain today. Oh, I wanted to get out there, and I wanted to do that job, hon. Where is help when I need it? All these excuses. And so they loll around and go to sleep with nothing fixed but a pillow under their head at about 1:30 in the afternoon. Oh, just a little snooze before I start my busy day. And they might wake up then with a spirit of lust and a thirst for beer. Jesus tells us that when men slept, the enemy sowed tares. That's true. Because I believe more evil comes in at the door of the sluggard than any other door that I know of. Out of our heart's door, marked sluggard, I said, than any other door. Stay out of the way of the sluggard. You may get caught up in his ways. You know, it's a disease. Once you catch it, you might die with it. You lazy dads listening on the radio, raise up. Look out the window, and that kid that's sleeping in the wagon with his legs hanging over the sides, that's your kid. He saw you laying on the couch day in and day out, and he picked up your attitude, and he picked up where you, and that's the whole of the country is falling into that. Too much leisure time. You lazy moms that are running around with your hair up in these pop cans until 4 p.m. Well, you see a lot of that. Trim your toenails. Paint your nails. Clean your house. Stop throwing everything in the basement. You got a truckload of Pepsi bottles down there. Cash them in. Buy a new house. Besides, the meter man is going to find out your secret. You make a path big enough for him to get through. No, I believe the sluggard is raw material for the devil. The sluggard is putty in the devil's hands. He can make anything he wants to out of them. He can make you a shoplifter if you haven't got nothing to do but wander through the shops. Oh, I went out here to Brookdale, and you'll see grown men, and they'll be out here. They have their briefcases, and they're in this they call them arcades now. What do they call them? Why they got the machines? Do they call them penny arcades, or now they must call them $5 arcades? But anyway, they're in there in the briefcases there, and they're so serious. They're into Star Wars. What a hard day they have. Go out to Chuck E. Cheese or somebody, and you see mom and dad and all the kids. Huh? Well, the kid thinks that's the thing to do. He's walking up to, Dad, I got to have $5 worth of quarters. I mean, I left the machine. The world could go under at any time. That's reality for him. Why not spend that time doing something constructive like working down here in this mission? Yeah, he can make anything he wants to out of the sluggard. He can make you a murderer. You sit and you think. Well, you know. You see this show on TV and so on like that, and you start scheming. The devil puts an idea in your mind about, you know, that's how people, take people and abduct them. What do you think about all these terrorists? Well, they haven't got nothing better to do than walk into a store, and who put that idea in there? Walk into a store and set a bomb in there. And then go across the street, and they show that on the show so people will know how to do it. And they go across the street, and they get in the phone booth, and they push a button. Was that in that Rambo movie? I don't know. It was in some movie. Rambi? I don't know. He wasn't Rambi, though. He was some kind of a detective. Detecto, that was it. And they push the button and the whole place blows up. Why? They don't have anything better to do than blow people up. These are sluggards. No one can tell me different. The devil took their mind. The devil got Gaddafi's mind. Make you a murderer, make you a queer, make you a Satan worshiper, make you a woman libber, make you a liar, make you a gossip, make you a child molester, make you a God hater, or a parent hater, or a drunk, or a coke tooter. Do they call that tooting? And they got to put this straw down on their noses all red. I mean, you're talking about beer noses and whiskey noses. These noses got holes in them. Coke tooters. And they put the straw down there and they smell this coke. Huh? And they showed that on TV with this Woodstock, how to make the pipe and how to fashion a pipe and do the whole thing. And oh, man, showing it, starting it all over again. Can make you anything he wants to because you're idle and you're laying in bed. You're an open target for the devil. Maybe you're a porno freak. And you're hiding your porno all over the place. Maybe you're a dissatisfied churchgoer. And then I think before I close here, I think another thing. Just because someone puts on a uniform, that doesn't make him a good worker. Bib overalls does not make a good farmer. Sears written across the front doesn't mean a thing. What do they call them overalls? Is this Osh Gosh by Gosh, something like that? Is there an Osh Gosh by Gosh? Oh, by gosh, say something. Is there an Osh Gosh by Gosh? Yeah. They got this Osh Gosh by Gosh stamped on here, branded on there. I mean, standing out there in the second base, a baseball player, you know, with a chaw snuffing here. Come on, babe. Come on, babe. Come on. That doesn't make a ball player. There's more to it than that. Pad and pencil doesn't make a secretary. Plumber's tools, I found that out. That doesn't make a plumber. Oh, I really found that one out. I tried it. I am definitely not a plumber. No, mechanic's tools doesn't make a mechanic. And this guy sees it. Oh, I think I'll be a mechanic. That's how unreal we are. And the sluggard gets these ideas. He's laying in bed and he can fantasize. You know what I'd like to be? I'd like to be a mechanic. So he gets just enough energy to get up and spend mother's money going down and buying a $900 tool cabinet with the red little drawers and the roller bearing doors that go in and out and every tool known to man that'll never get used. He rolls them out. Yeah, well, I'm going to start my own business. Come on, let me show you. Come on. Ah, here's a tool cabinet right here. Yeah. I got this manual here on how to be a mechanic. I'm going to go down there to Dunwoody. Go to school for 2 years. He never does it. Next time you see him, he's going to be a cook. He's got a cook hat on. Great big stovepipe with a mushroom. Looks like an atomic blast happened. You know what I mean? Just a homegrown idea that mushroomed on him. He'd never do anything with it. Never. No, never. You ever seen people like that? Then they'll wonder why you're satisfied doing what you're doing. Oh, you work down there, huh? Oh, yeah. Well, that's nothing. How long have you been at your job? You've been there. You've been faithful. You've been, what? 9 years. How long have you been at your job? 3.5 years. That's a good look. And how long have you been at your job? 14. There's a lot of people think you're crazy for doing that. Oh, you should go out and make heavy-duty dollars. That's nothing. Yeah. Get out of that, you know. Yeah. Get out of that. And this guy come up and he told me, he said, you know where you ought to go? And I thought, oh, no, I don't need somebody else to tell me where to go. Please. It's hot enough down here. I don't... They always want to tell you where to go and what to do. That's the sluggard. They always got these ideas for you. Nothing for themselves. And when it is, it's real puffed up. They're going to go to... Now, the biggest one they have is, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to school. What are you doing now with your life? I'm going to school right now. Well, is that right? And the guy's 65 years old. He's taken every course known to man, and now he's doing basket weaving. You know where he'll end up? Making license plates for the state. Are you hearing this? How many? It's about being a sluggard. How do you know this really relates to you too? And I mean, not just because you're you, but just think. You got an industrious mother and a dad here, and you can take off of what they're doing there. And, you know, just listen to people. I am going to be a movie star. A pretty girl is like a memory that haunts you night and day. Huh? Yeah, they always got the, you ought to be in pictures, huh? How about just getting a job at McDonald's or something to start with, huh? How about wiping the table? How about being realistic? Oh, that's too boring. I want to be a doctor. You know how much training it takes, sluggard, to be a doctor? You better not have one come over there. They might pronounce you dead. I mean, a woman with kids does not constitute a mom. Or a man that sires kids, a dad. There's more to it than that, folks. I mean, if we don't work at it, we're none of these things. I often wonder why some people say, "Ah, I got to go to work tomorrow." That is the biggest lie out. That is a big. They punch in. I'm sure you see that down on your jobs. They punch in and they may drink coffee. They may run to the union. I'm going to see my union. You can't do this to me. Huh? They may visit the job daily. They may sit on the toilet. They may eat their lunch. They may complain about the pay. But please don't say, I got to go to work tomorrow. That is an out-and-out lie. I think the fastest you'll ever see anybody move is when the bell rings. At 5 minutes, by the way, they give them 5 minutes to sweep up. Well, they've swept up a half hour before that. Their 5 minutes are spent washing, standing behind a bin someplace waiting for the waiting for, so they can be the first one out there to scratch gravel out there in that parking lot. Huh? The horn goes, bonk, the horn goes up. Man, they are out that door. Looks like the Belmont, is it Belmont Raceways? Is there such a place? Is there a Belmont? Tell me. Is there a Belmont? Where is that, England? I don't know. Looks like the races anyway. Off to the races! And they go home and they sit down in that great big old chair we were talking about. Ooh. And boy, anything that gets in their way in between leaving that terrible, confining job and getting to that sluggard's chair, look out, if there's a bike in the way, in the driveway when they get home, everything is an irritation. Why? They want to get home and get into that chair. Wow. Don't ever turn out, honey, to be a slug. You young people listening on the radio, don't turn out to be a sluggard. Oh, don't do it. Ooh, don't be one of those persons say, I got to go to work today and be a liar. Isn't it sickening to pay people, you listening on the radio, that pay people who pretend to work? Well, you say, live and let live, I always say. But the word says like this, they who will not work, neither let them eat. They won't do anything. Forget it. Besides, let me close it up here, the very biggest complainers are the lazy loafers. Lastly now, for you in the upper class, the higher class, people who are listening, don't be a shameful example. Don't go out at, you come to work, you got to catch you at about 8, between 8:05 or 9:05 and 10:05. That's when you have your coffee and then you go out someplace and you don't come back till 2:30 in the afternoon with bloodshot eyes. Remember, the higher the monkey climbs, the more his tail is seen. And so the greatest... And the greater these people are, the more idleness is noticed. The more you should be ashamed of. Movie stars and government people, always in the magazines. Man, you've got to watch, you've got to cover yourself. Basketball players and football players with all these kids are watching. Praise God that you've had enough guts. A lot of them are just beautiful at what they're doing. They're turning themselves in while they just admit that they had a problem with alcohol or drugs. I think that's just fantastic. What a witness to kids that are already on or think of going on. Is that negative? I think that's the most positive thing could ever have. An admission. I think they're far better than those. We're talking about heavy-duty jocks that never... Oh, they never... Beer? Not me. Never smoked, never drank, never done anything. Their testimony isn't all that great, but you take somebody that has fallen and they make an open admission of it. There's a lot of sins besides snorting coke and things like that anyway. Come on now. There's a lot more sins than just that. But these guys go ahead and they say, yeah, well, I had this problem. These kids are looking at them, well, I don't want to get into that. And then they go out with their testimony. A lot of times people think, well, now you can't be an example because, see, your testimony is ruined. You know what I mean? You're divorced. How about that one? Well, I can tell you everything not to do, folks. That's worth something, ain't it? Who's negative in God's army anyway? Nobody. Nobody's negative unless they want to think they're negative. How many hearing this message today? Well, I was a boxer, but I fell down. I worked with children and so on like that, but I got into drugs and everything like that. Now my testimony is ruined. Who says? Who says? Come on. Only when you think so. Are you hearing this? Oh, we feel so melancholy for the person. Poor, poor Mickey and Jackie and poor Pastor Paul. Oh, hogwash. Go on with your testimony. Your testimony. What is your testimony? Your test that you moany about. Come on, people. Your testimony. You all got a testimony. Give it. Oh, yeah, but I'm a complete flop. Who says? The devil says. Don't the world even say that? The devil, you say. Don't they? Ooh. Can I say one more thing? Can I have two more minutes? Somebody say yes, please. Okay. Going on. I believe the more ease that lazy people get by all of their scheming costs them in the end. I knew a fellow and he had a slow leak in his tire. And he knew exactly every 61 and a half hours he had to make it to the gas station to get that thing filled. And he had it on his mind all the time. Was it today or yesterday? I forgot to keep track of it. Whew. Or that leak in the car's gas tank that keeps him getting into his pocket all the time. How much wasted action. That procrastinator. That field you were going to plant, but you didn't. That crack in the wall you were going to fix, but you didn't. Well, you don't have to now because the whole wall fell down. Fell down. Don't worry about it. Fell down. That oil you were going to check in your car. Never got around to it.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 245. That was part two of Sluggards. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Next Friday's message is wait. So I guess we'll have to just wait for that one. Have a great week. God bless you.